Well, all right. Greetings, friends. It's good to be with you in these telecasts this Sunday morning. And may the Lord richly bless you wherever you are right now. I guess due to our crisis that we're going through here in the United States from coast to coast. So I guess we've got a lot of folks that are home today, and we're glad to be able to be here in the research center. And of course, this thing sits on top of one of the Ozark Mountains here in northwest Arkansas. And we're blessed in that we're able to be here every day. And so it's good to be here with you today. And and just continue our sharing together of the reality of being in Christ. And during time like these, where we're, you know, surrounded by the natural things of the world, and sometimes the unnatural, our security, the security of our soul, the security of our heart is based upon this reality of being in Christ. And the reality is that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And Rabin and I was talking, and I think that he also on his podcast was making a comment for Christians that faith and common sense are not enemies. And that's true. By faith we live in Christ. And that faith is a reality that comes in the seeing of Him. The Spirit of God revealing the very Son of God in us and showing us that relationship with Him. Jesus says He will take of mine and show it unto you. And so we live in that reality, the reality of being in Christ. But we also live on earth. And whatever it is that we face, I mean, there's flu epidemics here every year. That's just true. When I was a child, it broke out, it was a measles outbreak. And over the years, things have been developed to keep that from happening, medicines and whatnot. And we have this particular outbreak, but it doesn't take me out of Christ, or you either. And so I have no fear. I have enough sense to do everything that I can do, not to be just overly exposed to something that I really have no particular desire to catch or to have to put up with for a period of time. It would be a real inconvenience, particularly to me here, because we like to continue to function in this place daily, and we like to continue to put the truth out from this place daily. And physical ailments of any kind become a real hindrance to doing that. So our gatherings here are on the basis of using common sense. But on the other hand, we're not staying at home in fear. You understand what I'm trying to say? In fear. And living in fear. Maybe we weren't, I trust that we weren't part of the crowd that emptied all of the Walmart stores here a while back, for instance. These are things of fear. These are things of anxiety and of just mass hysteria. And we don't find that in Christ. We don't find that in Him. So I want to just continue with today as though this pandemic, as they call it, is not an issue with us at this time. Because in Christ, see, it's not an issue. There is no such thing working in my soul. There is no such thing working in Christ. And I can reach out from that reality, from that realm of being in Christ. I can reach out into the earth and minister the reality of Christ to people whose hearts are open to receive such a reality and walk in such a reality. But I haven't got anything to send to you for a free thing to send to you for a certain amount that you send to me in an offering, and if you take this and put it in your pocket, then you'll be exempt from all of these various things that come along that affect physical bodies. No, we're not playing that game. But I am talking to us about being the very body of Jesus Christ. And I have no doubt that the Lord works with us in that reality, and that the Lord puts His hand upon those that are His. I have no doubts concerning that either, because I witness that in my own body day by day by day, and I have now for a long time. And I plan to continue to do that for another long time. So let's just focus upon something that is not here for a while and then gone. Let's focus upon something that is real now and forever. Our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been reading in Matthew 16 and in John 2, and there's two things there that we've been looking at, two terms, and both of these terms relate to us because we are in Christ. Now let me just turn this on so that I know when I'm come to the end of my time. Two terms that relate to us because we are in Christ. And if we were not in Christ, these two terms simply would not relate to us. I have said something before in these sessions, and I'm repeating some of the things that I've said a week ago or 2 weeks ago, because we have had some interruption in these sessions. And it's just this, hon, that we must come to see we must come to see the altogether otherness. Now, that's a term that Brother Sparks used so much in his ministry, describing Christ and describing everything that was bound up in Christ, that it was altogether other than natural, altogether other than temporal and carnal, and altogether other than that which is passing day by day. That which is in Christ was altogether other than anything that we could see or have or find in the world. The altogether otherness. And I'd like for us to see the altogether otherness of the body that we are, and the altogether otherness of the church that we are. Not the church that's on the corner, not the church that is the building, not the church that people can fill out a card and belong to. I'm talking about the real spiritual concept and spiritual understanding of the church. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. We must come to see the altogether otherness of His body, the church, and understand His body, the church, to be a new creation in Christ. Now, we've been talking for weeks and months about the reality of being in Christ. We've been talking about that. That's not a new term to our ears. But what I want to do is gather up these two terms, church and body. I want us to gather them up into that reality of our being in Christ. Because I say again, if it was not for our union with Christ, if Christ was not in us, if we were not in Him, then the church would not exist. His body would not exist. Those two terms would be non-existent. But they're not. They're a reality, and they identify a people. They identify believers because those believers are in Christ. And that's what I want us to look at, seeing that those two words are actually speaking of the same union. Not two different unions, but the same union. The church is not one thing and the body of Christ another thing. They are the same thing, but they define two different relationships with Christ, or two relationships, two aspects. Two different aspects of one relationship with Christ. And so it's in Matthew that we're seeing Him say here, Jesus. And the reading is in Matthew 13 all the way through verse 20. But we're just going to look at verse 18. We've read this time and time again. But I want to go back to verse 18. I also say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, in other words, this rock of confession, this that you have confessed, this understanding by which you have spoken, this reality that has been revealed to you concerning me of my Father, so it is upon this understanding of me, upon this God-given, Spirit-revealed understanding of me, that I will build my church. The words here, these words, they're the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words. I will build my church. So there is the term church. I will build my church. That's something that He hadn't done at that time, but that He would do shortly. See? And the question that he asks here, whom do men say that I am? But he narrowed that down to his disciples and said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Honey, the relationship we have with him as the church is based upon the understanding we have of who he is. So I'm talking about church and body, but there are two aspects of one relationship. The relationship we have with him is life. Life, L-I-F-E, life, eternal life, life. But there are two aspects. And as the church, the relationship we have with him as the church is based upon being built up together in Christ. I will build my church. As we look at that, and we probably will in some sessions when we get these things a little more regular. It doesn't simply mean construct. It means build up. Building up in the faith. Building up in the knowledge of the Lord. Edifying, building up. Coming to grow up into him in all things, who is the head. The head of the church is also the head of the body. Our relationship to him as the church, I will build my church. Our relationship to him as the church is based upon our understanding, our comprehension of him as given of the Father. You understand? This is what he was talking to them about. See, their relationship with him at that time was of an earthly understanding, and they loved him and they followed him, but they understood very little of what he said, and he is about to leave them, not go away for 2,000 years, but he's about to leave them during the crisis of the cross. He's about to go away. We read more and more of this, in this same chapter right here, he begins to talk to them about he must die, he must go away, his death. Peter jumps up and tries to rebuke him for saying that, and he ends up having to rebuke Peter. He is about to leave them for a little while, but my hon, in the relationship they have with him, based upon the fleshly understanding they have of him, their own natural understanding, even though they've seen many things, and he tells them this. He says, flesh and blood, nothing that I've done, nothing that you've seen about me in the natural, flesh and blood has not shown this unto you, could not show this unto you. My Father which in heaven. He is challenging them because he knows that there's a time coming when they will not be able to, even for a short time, but they will not be able to see him with their natural eyes. And you and I can read in John, we're going to read there in a minute, but we can read in over in John 24. Now, this, stay with me on this. In John 24, chapter 24, you just read some of that. Let me see. Read some of that, and you will understand. What I'm talking about here. John 21 through 20. Let me see. Well, there is no. I'm thinking about another chapter. But this is in the last chapters of John here. Jesus appears to Mary, and then he appears to Thomas with all of his disciples. It is when he was appearing to those, and they didn't recognize him. They didn't know him. It was hard for them to believe, even when he appeared to them in another form. So what I'm pointing at here is that, and by the way, that's Luke 24, not John 24. Luke 24 is a good chapter to read concerning him finding his disciples, walking with them for a way, finally opening their eyes, then finding them all hiding out someplace in someone's house, and he goes and shows himself to, you understand? That's why I challenged them right here, hon. You and I, who must know Christ, not by walking with him down the seashore, not by sitting down with him and breaking bread, not in the natural, but we have received him in a greater way than they had received him then. Then he walked with them. Now he is in us by his Spirit, since the day of Pentecost was fulfilled in his coming again, as he said he would. Christ is with them here in one form, right? Right here that I'm reading to you. In one form. They have seen him in that form. And he is challenging their understanding of who he is, even though they've seen him in that form, and he's telling them that seeing me in this form has not shown you that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. But it is upon this understanding of the Christ. I'm talking about this in our monthly CDs, in fact. Understanding the Christ. Understanding the anointed. Comprehending the anointing that is in you. We're talking about this on the monthly CDs that go out to those who have requested them. Jesus is challenging them on this understanding because he knows that the relationship and the form in which they see him now is not an eternal form. And it is not that kind of a relationship for eternity based upon flesh, based upon touching and seeing. No, no. He is bringing them into a greater relationship than they have right now. And you and I have a greater union with Christ than they had while he was talking to them, as it is written right here in the Scripture. And yet we have people continually are saying, and you hear them, and I hear them, and in the church world, in one way or another, you know, that wouldn't it be nice if we could just walk with Jesus like the disciples walked with him? And then they'll go on and make it worse by saying, that's how it'll be one day in heaven. We'll get to walk with him down streets of gold. And I'm thinking, good Lord, hon, don't say that. Don't just compound the ignorance that you already have. And this is what he didn't want to happen to the disciples, that their ignorance of him, not that they were ignorant people, their ignorance of him not be compounded, but that they would come to know him in a way that was not based upon hearing, seeing, feeling, and touching. So everything he says here is based upon this one statement. Whom do you say that I am? And Peter answers, not from his own understanding, but from an understanding given of God. And that's why he mentioned his church. which didn't exist at that time. That's why he mentioned the church. And he said, this is the very understanding, this is the very rock, this is the very stone, this is the very understanding upon which I will build my church. We could talk about this, I could, the rest of my life and never get it all said. Only the Spirit of God can open our eyes to the union, to the unity, to the union that Christ speaks of and declares in these words, I will build my church. This is not an earthly activity on his part. No, it's an eternal activity. It's a spiritual activity. It is the working of his Spirit in our very soul. Building together, bringing together, establishing together, gathering up together. The work of the Holy Spirit going on in our heart and soul. Now, wherever we meet, wherever we are gathered together on the face of this earth, we should be there and are. If we're gathered in this knowledge, then wherever we meet, we will meet there as a manifestation. We will meet there as a testimony of a reality. We will gather on earth in the light of and in the understanding of a greater gathering together in Him, a gathering together in Him that shall never cease, but shall continue to just abound. Come on, in these buildings, the building I'm sitting in right now, we come and go, we come and go. We see each other now and then we're gone. But in Christ, that's not so. In Christ, that's not so. It is real. And don't misunderstand what I'm going to say. It is true, though, that you that are watching right now, you who are in Christ and who are with us in the fellowship of the Son, in union of the Spirit, are gathered together with us more so than just being gathered in this building. There's nothing wrong with being gathered in this building. We're here for purpose of ministry, and that ministry out to the body of Christ. So that's fine. But what I'm telling you, hon, is that I'm as gathered together with you as I am with someone sitting right down here. I'm as gathered together with you as I am any believer anywhere, because we are raised up together, seated together, quickened together in Christ, in heavenly places, and we are there now in Him. And He is who the head of the, He who is the head of the church continues to build up the church in the knowledge of Himself. So that the foundation of the church is not knowing Him in the flesh. And the girdle of gold. And the gathering up of the church is not according to knowing Him after the flesh, but according to knowing Him by the Spirit. So the relationship we have with Him and therefore with one another as the church is based upon the understanding that we have of Him that is working in our soul. Whether that understanding is a natural one, a carnal one, or whether that understanding is the understanding given of God. Because our relationship with Him, honey, the one that guides us, the one that leads us, is what I'm talking about now. is based upon an understanding in our heart. We worship the Lord according to where we understand Him to be and who we understand Him to be. And if that's a carnal understanding, then we're probably worshiping the Lord thinking that He is a religion rather than the indwelling Son of God. It's based upon the opening of the eyes of our understanding. And this is what He's challenging His disciples on right here. Because once again, they're facing the greatest crisis to ever come upon the face of the earth, period. Oh, this is a greater crisis than the flood was. Indeed, this is the crisis of the cross. And what will secure them during that time? Whom do you say that I am? You understand that? That must be the understanding of the church. Now, it is not, unfortunately, and this isn't something I'm, you know, this is not a criticism on my part, it's just a comment. Unfortunately, this is not the understanding of the present church world concerning the church, which church you now are, of whom He is the absolute fullness and the absolute completeness and the absolute head. But how many believers comprehend Him in that way, with that understanding? Huh? That's the reason that even in this little crisis today, and forgive me for saying little crisis, I mean, it's here, it's done what it's going to do, but it will come and it will go. It's that away. I lived through the time of the polio virus. And many of you did too. And I'm not comparing the two together because I don't think they even compare. But my point is this, hon, all these things come and go. I'm talking about being in Christ continually and eternally and functioning that way on the earth. Wherever we are on earth, understanding, Father, I am here in the Son. And at least, and being at rest in that, being at peace with that, and understanding that wherever I am tomorrow again, I am there in Christ. And that's a reality for us who are the church. In fact, we are the church only because we're in Him. So, you know, today much that in ignorance is called the church is really not the church at all. It's just a religious gathering, and that's a shame, and it's not up to me to define what gathering is and what gathering isn't. I just know that's the way it is around the world. And yet there are those who are gathered together on earth that are there in a reality of the true gathering, that it is in Christ. And there are those that function on earth as they are in Christ because they have this understanding working in them that Jesus was talking to His disciples about right here. The understanding of Him that is given by the Father. All right? Now, let's look. This is with regard to the word church and the reality of that word being fulfilled in Christ. But now I want us to go to John 2, and we've been talking about this as well, but we're just gathering up fragments here this morning. In John 2, here's the other word. John 2. Now, we were in Matthew 16, verse 13 through verse 20. And here we are in John chapter 2. But we're back to verse 13, and here we're through verse 21. Now, verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to the temple. Right at the beginning of his ministry here, he's going up to this temple. And it isn't by accident that he goes there at the time of the Jewish Passover. Because what he is going to put into action here, what he is going to do, and physically set forth. I mean, you know what he does, he in that temple, and really upsets everybody. But what he does is really a demonstration of what he would do and did do, has done by the cross. By the cross. Do we understand that? He come to take away the first that he may establish the second. Do we really know the fullness, the completeness of to take away the first? That's what he did. That's what he did at the cross. That's the judgment that he brought. I don't care whether anybody has received that judgment or not in their heart and soul. I'm sure, and don't get me wrong, many have. Many have. Many did right there in the first century, right there where Paul is. But the point is, there are people today who, in the Christian world, who have not in their own heart come to understand and receive that judgment. In other words, the first is not taken away. It's going to be done one day later on or whatever. It doesn't make any difference, sweetheart, what we think about it or how many receive it or not. He didn't ask permission of me or you or anybody else to go to the cross. He went there in obedience to the Father, and he fulfilled the work that God had given him to do. Not just to die, but in his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and coming again. And that's a reality, and many, untold many, have entered into that reality by the Spirit of God since the time that we're sitting here reading right now. I know that. I know that, but I know that there are many who have not, and I know that there is a segment of Christian religion that has been established upon human understanding and not the reality of a finished work. I know that much too. What we're concerned with here is that finished work, that true, genuine work of Christ being established in our hearts through the understanding given by the Spirit of God concerning the one who is in us. He shall take that is me, and he will show it unto you. He will glorify me. That's the work we're interested in. Because it is not the Spirit of God doing in us what Jesus didn't get done. It's the Spirit of God revealing in us the fullness, not just, and the limitlessness, the finality of what he did, but not just in that way, but by showing to us Christ himself as the finish of it, the beginning of it, the ending of it, the reality of it. And this, you know, somehow or another, Paul gets all that stuck in one statement. that I just said. He gets it all in one statement. I am crucified with Christ. There's the cross. My God, I imagine some have, I don't know how many books have been written on that, and how many hours and how many days and how many years have been involved in writing a book on I am crucified with Christ. But I know it gathered in the whole work of Christ. And he goes on. Based upon that, he goes on and says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, Christ liveth in me. Oh, hon. And the life that I now live in this flesh every day, and look at Paul's life. Look at it. Every day. I live by the faith in the understanding given of God of the Son of God. That's the thing that we're talking about here, hon. That's what Christ asked them. Whom do you say that I am? Do you know me in faith, or do you know me in sight and sound and feelings and so forth? Now, here he comes. The Jewish Passover. Because what he is going to present here now is in direct relationship to his death, burial, and resurrection, to his ascension, and coming to indwell believers at Pentecost. Now, Jesus, and in the temple, he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep. They desecrated it with the sacrifices, so-called. Nothing was in order. Nothing was according to Moses and Leviticus and nothing. They were just there. It was just a work of the flesh, totally. I mean, even more so than the law itself was. This was a discrimination against the law. They weren't even getting the law right. And he made this scourge and he ran them out and he overturned the tables. And of course, the Sanhedrin, the leadership there answered him said, why? By what authority are you doing this? And verse 19, Jesus said, destroy this temple. And in 3 days, I will raise it up. The thing that really stabs my heart the most is the great misunderstanding, lack of understanding, and in some cases simply no understanding of this verse right here. Destroy this temple. I mean, people have come at it from the historical work and historical side and then proven it on historical timelines and over and over and over and over again. And it's not that those things, as far as the historical view of it is so, are not true. But hon, he is not talking here about a destruction that is simply historical, but one that is eternal, final, and finished. And it relates to more than a temporal building or a temporal time that has long since come and gone. He is talking here about the reality of his death his burial, and his resurrection. That's what he's talking about here. That's how he raises up his body, the church. So that we come to understand here, it goes on through verse 21, but he spake of the temple of his body. And that's the body that you are, the body that I am. And we could spend the rest of this time and the rest of this month just going through the New Testament, and particularly the epistles, hon, showing that to be true. Particularly, believe it or not, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, all the way through the end of it. That's not talking about historical events that have come or historical events that are yet to come. It's coming about this reality. It's talking about this reality right here. Who is it that are raised up, quickened together, raised together, seated together in heavenly places in Christ, designating and speaking of Paul there in chapter 2 of Ephesians as well as chapter 1 concerning our salvation? What is it? Being quickened together, born from above, and raised together. Yes, raised up out from among the dead by the living one in us. John, from here all the way through John 8, chapter 8, we find Jesus saying this again and again and again, I will raise him up, I will raise them up, I will raise it up. And it's always, and in part of it, it's those that the Lord draws unto me. No man can come except the Father would draw, and I will raise him up. And he's talking about not at the last day, in the last day, and he designates the last day by his cross. Honey, he brings everything there. He brings everything that is real, everything of the testimony. He brings it all to a screeching halt. I mean to a screeching halt. Things that historically disappeared off the face of the earth, things that were torn down, burned down, and all that, and went on and on and on, and terrible things happened as a result of it because the disobedience of the people. But hon, right there at the cross, he tore it down. He tore it down. Paul preached an altogether different temple. Paul preached not an earthly but a heavenly Jerusalem. Paul preached, ye are now come to Mount Zion in Christ Jesus. Paul preached the eternal kingdom that came with the eternal King. Come on, darling. I don't know how anybody can read the epistles of Paul and come out of there preaching a dispensational gospel. That is something that is yet to happen. It just takes absolute blindness to do that. And we're talking about that reality right here. Right here. Destroy this temple. In 3 days I will raise it up. And that's exactly what he did. Not the old, which is taken away, but the new, which is established in himself. Read Hebrews 9. Read Hebrews 8 and 9 and 10 and 11 and 12. About this very reality. Go through it verse by verse, darling. That'd be wonderful if we could just do that every day. That'd be a good way to fill up some internet time. But that's the reality. Honey, if it wasn't for what I'm telling you right now, and I know I'm bouncing around with it, but there would be nothing to call the church. It wouldn't be there. I don't know what men would have come up with, but it wouldn't be the church. I will build my church, and here I will raise up my body. I will raise it up. I will raise it up. I will raise it up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I will raise it up. In Matthew 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I will build my church. You can't separate that church, which Paul says is his body, the fullness of him. You can't separate the church and the body from him. You can't do it. Oh, well, I know what ignorance does. But in reality, you can't do it. You cannot do it. And those that are doing that well, I don't want to say what I think about that. Just let me say you can't do it. And if you try to do it, it's not Christ or anything like Christ. It's just a man-centered religion. Let it not be so in our hearts. Well, all right, I'm going to stop here. I'm probably stopping a little early on my clock here, but I'm ready to stop. I want us to continue to look at I will build and I will raise it up. Those two things. And it's the Lord speaking. It's not something anybody else can do. And the sooner you and I come to the reality of that, the sooner we'll realize that it's not I who live, but Christ who liveth in me. Blessed be the Lamb of the living God. And honey, not only in days like this, but let me just say it, okay, in these temporary times right now like this, that's a good thing to know. But that is the only real thing to know, regardless of what's going on or not going on in the world, because a lot of things are going on there. But what is going on in Christ? Ho, 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 will be eternity coming to comprehend that. Blessed be the Lamb of God. Blessed be the Lamb of the living God. We're still looking forward to our gathering in June the 22nd through the 26th. And we'll be talking to you about it. But right now our plans are still set to sponsor such a gathering here as we do every year, the last week in June, and this will be in the last full week of June the 22nd through the 26th. We haven't had any directions given to us of the Lord that we should make plans to cancel that at this time. We listen to the Lord in these things. We put our heart before Him. But it is yet at this point in time our intention to have that gathering during that time. We're not above setting that time up at another time if it happened, because, hon, times come and go. But in Christ, there is one day and one time, and that's the fullness of time. And we can gather on any day in the fullness of time because our gathering is in Christ. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? But right now, we're still looking at June the 22nd through June the 26th. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for your faithfulness to help us with this outreach. And that which you send to CMI is not for the purpose of maintaining what we have here already. No, it's for the purpose of reaching out beyond ourselves throughout the Lord's body and around the world. And one of the main ways we're doing that at this particular time is the same way we're reaching out to you this morning. And I just trust that it'll go past us and past you and just keep on going throughout his body. So be much in prayer with us, and we will also stand in prayer with you. And may the Lord be blessed, and may his name be exalted. Amen. Amen. All right.